Welcome to Meeple to Meeple, uniting players from around the world. A 30-minute exploration of PJ and Gareth's board game experiences from across both sides of the Atlantic. Each episode, they share their thoughts and opinions on the world of board games, including their favourite themes, games, hot topics, and much, much more.
Hey, and welcome to episode 52. Guys, we have got a special episode for you today. As always, I'm PJ.
And I'm Gareth.
And today, we are going to be talking with the designer and illustrator and creator and all that of Kavango, which is coming to Kickstarter on September 19th. So be on the lookout for that. So with us is Matt and Zara. Hey guys, how are y'all?
Hi.
Hey, we're so happy to be on here. It's so exciting.
We're excited to have you. This is great. I'm particularly excited. Gareth's been talking about your game ever since UK Games Expo. And I just I'm excited to meet you and talk about Kavango.
Yeah, I found out about your game through the other Gareth. So the other listeners will know there's another Gareth in our gaming circle. And he rocked up on the Sunday and says, "I've got this," and drops Kavango on our table. And that's when this, the marvelous game of, conservationists and looking after the animals of South Africa, Botswana, landed in front of me. So do you guys want to do a quick intro about yourselves, your backgrounds, and how, this game came to be?
We'd love to.
Who'd like to go first?
You first?
Yeah.
It's always a difficult bit deciding who's talking.
Matt.
Yeah. So, I mean, actually, the idea for the game was really Zara's. So I'd made a couple of games before, but never really intended to do much with them. But Zara said to me, "Look, I love your games. Why don't you try making one about wildlife and conservation and sustainability?" Because we were both, it was during a period where we were both feeling a bit of climate anxiety, and we both really felt that there needed to be more optimism and positive narrative in that space. And loving board games as I do and always making them anyway, it just made sense. So went into this, well, now 3.5 year long project of making Kavango, and it's obviously evolved a huge amount along the way. Originally it was based on conservation all over the world, so it would be different parts of the world. But when we moved to Botswana, it just really made sense to focus in on this region, and we could make it so much more detailed and so much richer. And Zara's our real-life conservation expert. So, bringing in her knowledge about conservation it just made sense, and it's just been such a wonderful project to work on.
And so Zara, what's your role within conservation of Botswana?
So I'm a specialist in combating the illegal wildlife trade. I'm based in Botswana, but I cover Southern Africa.
Okay.
And yeah, I've been working in that job for 4 years. It's been amazing. And I've spent a lot of time in the region, in national parks and in the wild, which has been phenomenal and has really inspired Kavango. And what Matt said before about us designing Kavango from a place of anxiety and worry is so true. And I think when we started making the game and when we moved to Botswana, we were just filled with hope and inspiration for the natural world. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to Botswana, but it's just full of life. And the whole of Southern Africa is full of insects and grasses and trees and megafauna, and it's beautiful and so alive. And I think coming from the UK, where maybe we're a bit ecologically lacking sometimes, it was really inspiring to see what was possible. And there's also lots of examples here of people who are rewilding degraded land that's been overexploited through agriculture, through farming, and who are now buying it up and bringing back lions and elephants and rhinos and giraffes in the space of 10 years. There's a park 30 minutes from our house, and in 1992, it was an abandoned plot of farmland. And now it's a home to all of the big five. It's a major tourist destination. So it's just those sort of stories of hope that we wanted to capture in a way that was accessible and fun. Because it is also so fun. Conservation is so exciting and so motivating. And we wanted to get all of that somehow captured in this game.
That's great.
I mean, I'm sitting here so inspired. I could listen to you already absolutely. For hours. So you guys have been over there for four years or so? How long have you been in Botswana?
3 years now.
Three years.
We were meant to move out and then COVID messed up our plans. Right. But so it's been 3 years in Botswana, but 4 years in this space working on it. Yeah.
So Matt, you've told the story about how you relocated to follow Zara down there. I'm curious about were you a game designer before you moved to Botswana? Is that how this project naturally happened, or?
It feels a generous description, but I was thinking about this the other day, actually, and I had previously made, I used, my brothers and I, we love football, and we played so many football games growing up, and I'd made this football game, and I remember my friend built a stadium so we could play this football game at my stag do in 2019, so, but I mean, Kavango is really, really my first, I would say. It's definitely, since starting the project, it was one that we were thinking about how could we bring this to more people? Would we go via a publisher? Would we look for Kickstarter, that sort of thing? We were always thinking about how can we, because we wanted to have a positive impact through the game, we were always thinking about how can we reach more people, whereas before it's always been, I enjoy doing it, but with my friends and family, that's enough. But yeah.
Right.
And have you always been a gamer? So is it always been board games, or is that that's been part of your life for both of you?
100%. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And even more so for me when I joined your family.
Yeah.
Matt's from a big gaming family.
Amazing.
So it's all of our holidays are always full of games. But it's also not just board games, it's all types of games, like sport and video games, mm-hmm. and any opportunity to play and have fun in the broadest sense. So, yeah.
I think it's as long as a game which has a lot of social interaction. I mean, when you say like video games, I mean, both of us, and we noticed with a lot of board gamers really like the Nintendo Switch, for example, because it's all about that live interaction with other people. And it's actually really nice during COVID and things that we got to do that online, and we had a Zoom call up whilst we're doing it. So we're sort of simulating the experience as well. And we did that for board games as well, with like Ticket to Ride. And it's all about that just way of interacting with people and having just a fun, enjoyable experience, isn't it?
What are your favorite games? Like what's one or two of the games that you guys enjoyed playing?
I'm obsessed with Azul Queen's Garden at the moment.
Okay.
Any opportunity I have to play it. But I can't beat Matt. It's so annoying. I'm reading up all the strategies, and I'm always like, let's play, like, give me another shot. So that one we've been playing. Cascadia we've been playing quite a lot recently too.
Yeah.
We love so many. I find that we go in phases of what we play for like a week at a time.
I'm just trying to think in terms of ones that I think of like all-time games that I love. I definitely love Pandemic. I really liked, that was probably the first game that introducing lots of co-op elements, which I really enjoyed.
Absolutely.
And try to bring a bit of that into Kavango. There's a semi-co-op element to it. So that was quite a special game. Like and then in terms of growing up, I mean, we used to play Catan as a family probably every Sunday night. so those two have a bit of a special place in my heart. But I think more recently, as Zara says, Ticket to Ride as well. We also played.
That was a great lifeline actually during COVID, because I could play it with my mum, which was really nice.
Yeah,
online and. It was just really, I don't know, really lovely to be able to have that communication, because we were locked down in Botswana, even much later than the UK was.
Right.
So we were sort of in our house trying to connect with people. So yeah, games have been a really important part of our lives for a long time. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So how about, there have been some comparisons between Kavango and other games that already exist. But What were there any games that were pivotal in your mind that you, when you were designing Kabango, and you were thinking specifically about this game with this mechanic, or was there any of that type of detailed inspiration?
I think this will actually really surprise you, because although there's more other games which are more similar, the game that sort of set it off a bit was, we were in a phase of playing Lost Cities a lot. I don't know if you know, it's just two-player game. And we were just a bit obsessed with it at the time. And we really liked the fact it was quite quick play and you always felt engaged. And it's not really card drafting, but it's a bit similar. That was actually what set it off. I mean, mechanically, it's totally different. Mm-hmm. It was the one we were playing a lot at the time of starting the game. But I think the other one that people have picked up on is, I really like the simultaneous play in Seven Wonders. And that was that's an aspect of Kavango, which some people have sort of noticed a bit of a similarity. Mm-hmm. But in terms of other games, I was sort of deliberately trying. It's always a difficult thing with designing something that you're trying deliberately not to take inspiration too much from elsewhere. Some other people have asked me, oh, well, what about Ark Nova? And actually, because the design process started a couple of years before Ark Nova had even come out, it's actually taken no inspiration from Ark Nova at all. So there's a lot of people, and other people have mentioned Meadow as well. I mean, because they're wildlife games as well.
Yeah, yeah. I guess once you got it out into the wider population, people start associating it with other games. So for those listeners who haven't heard of Kavango, do the elevator pitch. What's the game about? Why did you design it? And how does the game work?
Okay, so Kavango is a conservation-themed board game that's modeled on real life conservation success stories in Southern Africa. So when you play Kavango, you travel to this beautiful region of the world that's full of wildlife. And each player takes on the role of a conservation expert that has special abilities that can help them in their rewilding journey. So each player takes on their character card, and then they're also given their own landscape board, which they're using that as the basis for their nature reserve. So your landscape board represents a different area of land in Southern Africa. So we've got a wetland board, for example, a savanna board, an acacia forest board. They all start with their own characteristics. And that's where the asymmetry of the game begins. And from then on, you're doing simultaneous card drafting over three rounds of 10 turns to start building up animals and food and protection to create an ecosystem that eventually looks like a beautiful nature reserve. So that's the basis of the game, and there's lovely mechanisms within it. So there's three rounds of 10 turns, and as I say, it's deeply thematic, modeled on real life. So in addition to having, you have to be able to feed your animals, so you have to build in the food chain in your reserve. You also have to protect your animals from threats, because the sad reality is we're in the sixth mass extinction of the planet. There's lots of threats facing our animals. So you have to be realistic about needing to protect them. So as you go through the game, you need to invest money for habitat protection, poaching protection, and collaborate together on climate protection. So over the three rounds, you're building a much more complex system every round, and then associated with that, your decisions become harder. You need to become a bit more strategic as it goes on. And the final round really has this lovely climax of energy as you're drafting against each other, also to try and get the biggest species, the iconic ones like the lion and the elephant, the rhino, into your reserve and not into anyone else's.
And the aim of the game is to build the highest scoring nature reserve, and you score points largely by introducing animals into your nature reserve, but also by completing research tasks and winning end of game conservation awards. That's it.
Did that sound like an elevator pitch? Yeah, I feel like it was sold. Quite long.
No, it was,
no, that was great.
A very tall elevator.
A very tall elevator. Let's go to the top of the shard.
Yeah, it really does sum it up. I remember when we played it at UK Games Expo, that the game just just flew by because you've got that simultaneous card drafting, and then you're all doing that kind of check when you're doing a kind of the income round or your financing round. Yeah. It just flew by, and I was engaged throughout. And that you're absolutely right. That last part where you're trying to get the larger animals, the wow animals, and you're trying to grab other people's and bring them into your own sanctuaries. Yeah. It does make for quite a stressful. I've got to get every point I can squeeze out of this.
And it's also, I feel like you have this love for your reserve as well. So you're not so much trying to stop other people guessing it, but you just really want your reserve to be the best.
Yeah.
Which is really nice as well.
And I'm quite intrigued by the conservation messages coming through. So it is more themed around the conservation than, you know, just the animals themselves. How have you fed your role, Zara, your job into the game? So if it's a day in the life of Zara, how does that fit into the game?
In so many ways. I've tried to capture this uniquely African solution to conservation. So that's what we're trying to capture in Kavango. It's not a romanticized idea of releasing animals hoping that they'll survive. The realities of conservation now are that you need money, you need protection, and you need to put in a hell of a lot of work to make it happen. And in Southern Africa, they're doing phenomenal work in very specific areas of land, which are now being protected and fenced off. They're big areas of land, though. And they're being specifically allocated to wildlife. And that's a solution also to address population growth and the effects of climate change, making land and viable land scarcer for both wildlife and humans. So this is an African solution, or especially Southern African solution to conservation. And that's something that I've seen and learned about over the past 4 years and have tried to capture in the game. And it's other things like when we've been on trips together to national parks, we've done field research, all the grasses. I remember this one trip that we went on and we just went collecting grasses from across the Kalahari. We were camping in the central Kalahari and we just one day thought, okay, we'll go on our grass mission. So we went and got all the different grass types, and they're all in the game and they're drawn to replicate life. So we've also found that when we've played with friends who visited from the UK, they've played the game and then they've even recognized the grasses and the trees, which is lovely. So there's all those, that's where it's come from, is it's trying to be as realistic as possible in all aspects. So firstly, from the model of conservation, but then also down to the design.
I think listening to you and then thinking about the game, which we played, that piece where you start with the smallest animals, you're trying to get the rewilding going. And then I think about actually going to the second round when I've got some of the larger animals that are now working on the ecosystem that you've developed right through to the end. It really does help explain how, the South African approach has been working. Without you saying that, I don't think I'd clicked, but now you've explained it. It really well done. Really well, really well.
Thank you. The character cards are also really important. I just want to say a quick thing on them, because I think conservation is a story of people who are really passionate about it, driving that success. And you need lots of different people involved in that journey. So the character cards are we couldn't do the game without trying to represent all those people and everything that they bring to it. So the character cards are a way to give every important stakeholder visibility in the game and in the process of conservation and in the different roles that they play. So you've got the investor on the one hand, who's obviously incredibly important for financing, and that's just a big global model. But then on the other hand, the local leader, and that represents communities on the ground, without whom conservation effort would never work. So it's sort of trying to capture all the different aspects of what makes conservation work as well.
I think in every cube is a million. So every time you spend that cube, there's definitely a decision of, well, am I going to put this into poaching? Am I going to do this to improve my park? It really does make you think about, you know, do I put it into the climate bit, which obviously is a semi co-op element of the game. Every decision because those cubes are quite hard to come by. So you really need to invest them in the right place.
They are hard to come by, which is another lovely reflection on how hard it is to get money in conservation as well.
I have a question about the playmat, right? So it's your player's individual reserve, but then I believe off to the right side of the mat, it's like the sanctuary. Is that correct?
That's right.
So I was wondering if you could just talk about the relationship between a reserve and a sanctuary in real life, in your job, as it reflects on the player mat. Because I really thought that was a fascinating, and I didn't understand the difference in real life until looking up this game. So.
Oh, that's a great question. I quite like it as a mechanic, and it was one that sort of evolved into the game, and it's really because it's so much based on real life. We've seen lots of sanctuaries here where there would be a specific area that will be to rehabilitate perhaps animals from the wild that may be being injured from poaching or snares or similar, or it might simply be that they cannot be introduced into the wild safely because they haven't got the prey, or perhaps they were raised in captivity and they haven't learned how to hunt, for example. So the idea is with the sanctuary is that the conservationists will work to build up the population, then introduce them into the wild in a way that is sustainable. So all the introductions of species into your nature reserve in the game represents introducing a sustainable population. It's not like just you introduce one impala and then you've got three different animals feeding off of it. the premise is that each time you introduce a tree or each time you introduce a small mammal, it's about introducing a sustainable population. And that's very much the way it works in real life. So that's the theme with the sanctuary, that you're waiting until you can safely introduce it.
Okay. So I guess I have a question for you, Gareth, since you actually physically played the game where I didn't. That did not come across in like videos and images that the card, I was thinking, oh, you brought one giraffe, but you're talking about a sustainable species. So my question to you, Gareth, is what he just said, did you feel that come out when you were playing?
I definitely have that feeling of, ongoing park development. So that piece where you start with two of four, wild areas, is that what you call them?
It's the producers, yeah.
Producers, that's right. Uh-huh. And then you're looking at which animals might be in the deck that you're going to draft, thinking, how do I do these? And so you're growing the grasses, you're either growing fish, and then you'll play down, a small animal. But yeah, it does feel like you are populating that area with that species. And then you start to invite other species in that eat that. So you're building up the food chain and the ecosystem. And then where you've got the reserve on the sanctuaries, it's things you brought into your park, but you're preparing. So maybe I like the concept of it's been injured or it's been caught, it's rescued from poachers, and it's just there waiting for your whole reserve to be ready. I've got to say, for the first designer, and I know other people have said this, it is a hell of a game. It's so tight. It flows and it's fast. And it just feels very, very complete.
I was doing some research beforehand, and I was looking at how Kavango used to be called Okavango, a region of Namibia.
Nailed it.
Okay. So Namibia is... shares a border with Botswana. I knew you lived in Botswana. Apparently in 1998, something big happened in the restructuring. I don't know, but you can talk about that. And I understand that the region is this little strip north of Botswana. And I'm curious about the relationship between the two nations and how that influences your work.
That's such a great question. So for a bit of context, in Southern Africa, conservation is often done through transboundary conservation networks, which means that it's areas of land that cross national boundaries, but which are natural migratory routes for animals. So in southern Africa, the biggest one is called the Kavango-Zambezi Transfrontier Conservation Area. And that's the largest area of transboundary conservation in the world. And it it's home to the largest population of elephants anywhere in the world as well. And it's based traditionally on ancient migratory routes for animals. So that encompasses Namibia, Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Angola. So it came, Kavango as a habitat, I suppose, as a ecosystem, is based on the Kavango-Zambezi Transfrontier Conservation Area. Okay. But Kavango-Zambezi Transfrontier Conservation Area, it's quite a long name for a whole thing. So we decided to shorten it to Kavango. But you're completely right that Kavango is a river system in Namibia. A really important one. If you're interested, I'll just do a little quick outline of it because it's so interesting. The Okavango Delta. The Okavango Delta, which is in Botswana, it's the only inland delta in the world. And it's this phenomenal place of wilderness because it's this wetland in the middle of a desert. So when you go there, you just, every corner you turn, there's herds of elephants and herds of impala and leopards and lions. It's like the Garden of Eden.
Special
it's
place.
The only way I can describe it. So that the Okavango Delta is fed by the Angolan Highlands. So rain falls in the Angolan Highlands, it trickles down, it goes through Kavango River and into the Kavango River Basin, which then feeds the Okavango Delta. So it's also a really great illustration of how all these countries and ecosystems are connected. And that's why to approach conservation well, you need to do it transboundary, because our national boundaries mean nothing to animals.
Right.
So that's where it comes from. And okay. Kavango is the name that stuck. Yeah.
I love it. That's great. Thanks for taking time to explain that, because I was doing the research going, okay, I wonder what that sounds like. That's a political nightmare, possibly. Thanks for that. I appreciate it.
What's been your proudest moment of Kavango over the 3.5 year journey? I know Kickstarter's only a few days away, but anything within that design you've gone, that was a moment?
That's a great question. I think for me, it would be that we've had University of Botswana have really supported us, and they love the game. So we've done two events with University of Botswana. We did one last night, which was really cool. And the students and the lecturers have just been so supportive, and just their enthusiasm for the game and their understanding of how to play the game based on the principles that they've been learning and teaching.
Awesome.
It's so validating, and it's just like the ultimate stamp of approval that the game, because it's been so thematically designed, that it makes sense with the academia side as well. So, and in designing the game, we really wanted it to be able to reach people in a way that other means can't. So just with that, the fun learning of conservation. So yeah, it's been really validating.
Anything for you, Zara, from the conservationist side, or any?
I agree. When we played it with people who are specialists in conservation, and they've got it.
Yeah.
It's so satisfying. I think the proudest moment for us, for me, was UK Games Expo, though, because we'd been working away on it for about 3 years by that point, just the two of us playing it with whoever would come and play with us, which we ended up being quite a lot of people who we forced to play.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we came to UK Games Expo. We came straight from Botswana. Our flight was delayed. We got there really late the night before, turned up the first day of the expo, rushing to set up our stall, expecting nothing. We were expecting to have to go around dressed as lions and get people to come and look at our stall.
Offering freebies and things.
And we just had this swell of support, and it was so overwhelming, and it meant so much. And it's not just, it's the people who came and played, but also everyone in the board gaming community in the UK has been so lovely. And it was really validating because you don't know up until that point. You think, are right. we just doing this crazy thing?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
will anyone like it? You have no idea. Your friends and family like it, but they're your friends and family. So yeah, what yeah. else are they going to say?
Yeah.
So then suddenly to have that validation from everyone and just that support and energy gave us so much momentum. It was wonderful. So yeah, I remember just feeling at the end of it, just didn't even know how to describe it, just really overwhelmed with incredible. Excitement. So
I think there's been so many points on the journey where Sarah's always so optimistic with it, which has been incredible. But I've so many points where I felt, am I crazy? What am I doing here? Like, I can't do this. And then I think in particular to have the support of the board game community have just been so wonderful. Yeah. It honestly means the world. I mean, every single person who gives us a good review, it's so exciting and it just lifts us and makes us keep going. But I mean, there's also been the people it's a really difficult thing to give feedback to someone on a game because you know that it might be taken badly, but we really appreciate everyone who's along the way who's given us little tips. And those little tips go a long way to improving the game. And we've noticed just from UK Games Expo to the prototype, like we've sent you, Gareth, which is more reflective of the Kickstarter version, that those little changes can make a big difference. So there's a lot of perfectionism in board games. And yeah, it's really appreciate the community.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
And that's awesome. That's
Matt,
awesome.
You've done the art as well, haven't you? So not only have you the art, all of the art throughout the game is from your illustrations?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And the version that you've sent me obviously has got quite a lot of nicer components. Is that the deluxe version of the Kickstarter?
It's about halfway in between.
Okay.
Yeah, so the fabric bags you have in this... that version and the card trays, the nice sort of solid card trays, are both deluxe components. But otherwise, it's the Kickstarter edition.
Standard.
So the Kickstarter edition will have punch board card trays, which will be different. But the deluxe version will also have quite a few extra things on the version you have, like it's going to have nice corner holders on the board so the cards don't slip away if you accidentally knock it, for example, which is cool. And I always forget the full
wooden
list.
Wooden tokens.
There we go. Classic. And then it will also have a nice embossed box. Sorry. Yeah. So the deluxe version will be really cool. But the Kickstarter version will be nice too.
I cannot wait to see it. I have to say, I think you for a Kickstarter, and I've worked with quite a few. You're one of the most professional in terms of communication. So your communication, I guess, at UK Games Expo throughout, I guess, the pre-live for the Kickstarter, which is only a few days away, you guys, do not underestimate how good you guys have been in communicating. I know we've talked about it in the community, just about how engaging you are, and you just kept on top of the comms and being really clear. So,
thanks.
Are you ready for next week? It's only two days to go.
Yeah, we're ready.
As ready as you can be. Yeah.
We're excited.
I like the confidence.
So it's the 19th of September, 2023. What time does it go live?
So it'll be 5 p.m. UK time.
5 p.m.
9 a.m.
for us.
6 p.m. Botswana time, 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
Good work.
I love it. Here comes the most difficult question. This is the most probing question right here to end the episode. When are y'all coming to America? Gen Con Origins. When are y'all coming and bringing Kavango? That's what I want to know.
I think we're gonna go next year, aren't we?
I think as soon as you invite us.
Yeah.
I am officially inviting you now.
Right, we'll be there for Christmas.
Right, we'll be there.
He invites everybody. It sounds like there should be like a stretch goal for like a board game event with you guys and a safari.
I know.
With play games with you guys. Some sort of con over in Botswana. Is there a gaming scene?
Genius.
There. there's a small community of people who do game, and the population of Botswana is tiny. So it's the size of France as a country, but there's only 2 million people.
Okay.
And the capital, there's only 250,000 people living in the capital.
Wow.
Okay.
We've definitely found the gaming community, but it's small. And we're really excited because on Thursday this week, we're going to Comic-Con in South Africa, which is great. So it's Comic-Con Africa is what it's called. It's the largest convention in Africa. And we're going to the one in Johannesburg. And it's during our campaign, but we're just trying to get the message out there to Southern African community.
Yeah, do it. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we thought we just, you know, you only get this chance once. We just got to throw everything at it. So we're going to Johannesburg for that con, and then we're going to Essen after too. And all of that's in our campaign. So in case anyone is going to be there, please come find us. We'll be under Mazaza Games, and we're going to have special offers for the Kickstarter.
Stand 1G, so hall 1111. It's nice and easy to remember that one. Yeah. So for Essen,
1111 for Essen.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I have a work event that is blocking me from going for the second year on the bounce, which is, I even told them, please avoid this week, but
supposedly
doesn't change the events of our company.
Yeah.
So, nor does Essen. So okay, Hall 1, 111. I know a load of the board game community are going to be there, and obviously it is an event that you guys will no doubt shine at.
And we're sending some people to Essen, right, on our behalf. So
we will make sure that we're going to have John from Trywin Games come on the show after. So we'll make sure he heads to your stand. John, yes. I know you listen, so there's your first task.
Can't wait to see you, John.
Yeah.
So on Instagram, you're kavango.game. You're on Kickstarter on Tuesday the 19th. And with that, I wish you the best of luck. You so deserve it. I cannot wait to see the campaign go live and what happens next.
Absolutely.
So thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Meeple. Thank you.
And we'll see you all soon.
Yeah, thank you. It's lovely to chat to you.
It's been incredible. Thanks so much. It's been a dream of ours to be on this.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe. And as always, we love to hear your thoughts and ideas. So make sure to leave those in the comments. And don't forget, you can also chat with us both on Instagram @meeple2meeple.